attendance form in the green welcome pad, clicking, going through the QR code in your bulletin, or clicking on the link in the chat thread. It is so good to be back together again this morning in worship here on this Father's Day. I am grateful for my father today and the way that he raised me. But I'm also reminded of those other fathers, mentors, many of whom from my church, who invested in me and helped shape me into the person I am today. I suspect your lives are full of those folks as well. I've even seen you all investing in my own kids at deacon picnics and older adult bruncheons and men's breakfasts this very week. And I am grateful. So to all of you fathers out there, biological and spiritual, we thank you. You may notice that we're down a pastor this morning. Cindy has been part of the Church of the Brethren's National Junior High Conference this weekend across the street. Rachel Beck is a youth participant, and Cindy's been along for the ride as a chaperone. The reports I've gotten have been that it's been a great experience. Many thanks also to Chuck Yan, who put in a ton of work leading up to and during the event in helping to welcome and host these junior hires from around the country. And thanks to the many of you that led sessions for the youth, sharing your wisdom and insights on everything from care for the environment to comic books to poetry to music. You have been a blessing. There are prayer cards in the row alongside you that you can use to share the joys and concerns that are near to your heart this morning. If you're joining us over Zoom, you can just type those prayer requests right into the chat thread. The children will collect them a little later in the service. This morning, the kids will also be collecting food and donations to help make sure the people of our community have enough to eat. Food items will be donated to the local food pantry, and any monetary donations brought forward go to support the Market Bucks program through the local farmers market that helps extend the buying power of those on food assistance programs. This Friday is Stone Church Night at the Altoona Curve. We've got a group of 30 people headed to the ballpark to enjoy the game, followed by a fireworks show. Now, if you haven't secured your tickets yet, all is not lost. We have two extra from a couple that is no longer able to attend. So send a note to the office or just leave a note in the comments section of the attendance form saying that you would like to make those tickets yours. Next Sunday morning before worship at 9 a.m., we'll gather downstairs in the fellowship hall in person and over Zoom for an important congregational forum. We'll be voting on the proposed changes to Stone Church's leadership structure, following on the work that the team has been doing over the past year, along with insights from you at our recent gathering on how we can best adapt to the realities of a changing world as we seek to continue living into our mission and vision as a church family. Please plan to be a part of this important work. And then stick around after worship next Sunday for Lemonade on the Lawn. It's an informal opportunity to enjoy some refreshing lemonade and cookies and to get to know the people around you better. Our great appreciation to Jeannie Lashley and Paul Hoover, who are working to make this happen. Today, we begin a new series on the book of Daniel. We all remember the story of Daniel and the lion's den, but how much do you know about the rest of the book? Over the next few weeks, we'll look beyond the lion's den at strange tales of ghostly hands and fantastic beasts. It all starts this week, as a tiny group of resistors stand before a tyrant and face the penalty of a fiery furnace. It all starts right here this morning. So sit back, allow the music of the prelude to center you into this time of worship together.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Friends, please stand as you are able and join me in the call to worship printed in your bulletins. O God, our God, how wonderful is your name in all the earth. It is written in the stars above, sung throughout the depths of the sea. Even we, ones who have been formed from the dust of the ground, even we carry your name in our hearts and sing your praises in our lives. O God, our God, how wonderful is your name in all the earth.
King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold statue. It was 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. He set it up in the Dura Valley in the province of Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar then ordered the chief administrators, ministers, governors, counselors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the provincial officials to assemble and come for the dedication of the statue that he had set up. So the chief administrators, ministers, governors, counselors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. They stood in front of the statue the king had set up. The herald proclaimed loudly, "Peoples, nations, and languages, this is what you must do. When you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, zither, lyre, harp, flute, and every kind of instrument, you must bow down and worship the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Anyone who will not bow down and worship will be immediately thrown into a furnace of flaming fire." So because of this order, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, pipe, zither, lyre, harp, flute, and every kind of instrument, all the peoples, nations, and languages bowed down and worshiped the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At that moment, some Chaldeans came forward, seizing a chance to attack the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "Long live the king, your majesty. You gave a command that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, pipe, zither, lyre, harp, flute, and every kind of instrument should bow down and worship the gold statue. Anyone who wouldn't bow and worship would be thrown into a furnace of flaming fire. Now there are some Jews, ones you appointed to administer the province of Babylon, specifically Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have ignored your command. They don't serve your gods, and they don't worship the gold statue that you've set up." In a violent rage, Nebuchadnezzar ordered them to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is it true that you don't serve my gods or worship the statue I've set up? If you are now ready to do so, bow down and worship the gold statue I've made when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, zither, lyre, harp, flute, and every kind of instrument. But if you won't worship it, you will be thrown straight into the furnace of flaming fire. Then what god will rescue you from my power?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered King Nebuchadnezzar, "We don't need to answer your question. If our God, the one we serve, is able to rescue us from the furnace of flaming fire and from your power, your majesty, then let him rescue us. But if he doesn't, know this for certain. Your majesty, we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you've set up." Nebuchadnezzar was filled with rage, and his face twisted beyond recognition because of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In response, he commanded that the furnace be heated to 7 times its normal heat. He told some of the strongest men in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the furnace of flaming fire. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were bound, still dressed in all their clothes, and thrown into the furnace of flaming fire. Now the king's command had been rash, and the furnace was heated to such an extreme that the fire's flame killed the very men who carried Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to it. So these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell, bound, into the furnace of flaming fire. Then King Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in shock and said to his associates, "Didn't we throw 3 men bound into the fire?" They answered the king, "Certainly, your majesty." He replied, "Look, I see 4 men, unbound, walking around inside the fire, and they aren't hurt. And the 4th one looks like one of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar went near the opening of the furnace of flaming fire and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. The chief administrators, ministers, governors, and the king's associates crowded around to look at them. The fire hadn't done anything to them. Their hair wasn't singed. Their garments looked the same as before. They didn't even smell like fire. Nebuchadnezzar declared, "May the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be praised. He sent his messenger to rescue his servants who trusted him. They ignored the king's order, sacrificing their bodies, because they wouldn't serve or worship any god but their god. I now issue a decree to every people, nation, and language. Whoever speaks disrespectfully about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's god will be torn limb from limb and their house made a trash heap, because there is no other god you can rescue like this." Then the king made Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego prosperous in the province of Babylon.
It's time for the younger among us to make their way forward. If you have a prayer card that you filled out, hold it on up. Or if you've got some food for the food pantry, hold it up and the kids can bring it on their way. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it. Hey, I want to show you this cool thing that I stole from Cyrus's room. I mean, this cool thing that I borrowed from Cyrus's room that Cyrus built from a kit. Here, why don't you guys come down there? You'll have a better view. Here, no, I need you to move. Come on down. I'll let you help me, but you gotta get down here. All right, so I gotta set this. Right? It is a robot, but not just any robot. Check this out. Set it up here. And we'll do this. Take some of these. Let's see if I can get them set in. Do I remember how to do it, Si? I'm gonna need your help in a minute. In the back? Oh, smart. Do this, we'll put some more in, some more, get some more of these, yeah, some more of these dominoes, more dominoes, right, good. Okay, what do you think's gonna happen?
I think it's gonna sound like, I know what's gonna happen.
Can you believe Cyrus built this?
I think it's gonna
Here we go. Let's try this out. Cyrus, would you do the honors and turn it on and then back up so everybody can see? There it is. Clearly. All right, now Cyrus, before we do this, have you guys done this before? Usually I did it by hand, right? Where you set up the dominoes, and then Cyrus, do something for me. Push that one, yeah. And they all fall down, isn't this cool? Let me set this over here. You know, this kind of reminds me of our Bible story. You guys can come back around me here. This kind of reminds me of our Bible story today that Sally and Tavy's dad read for us. In the story, this crazy king made this rule about everybody bowing down and worshiping this big statue that he had made whenever the music started playing. He was the king, and he said so, and that was sort of like the first domino knocking over the next one, and the next one, and the next one, until everybody's doing it. Except for these three. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I wonder how they managed it. How they managed to stand up and to do the right thing, even when everyone else around, all around them was falling down, was bowing down. You know, it got me thinking of this story by a guy named Ed Friedman. I'll read it to you. It's from a book called Friedman's Fables.
Like 100 pages in that.
We're just going to read one story. Can you see? All right, there are no other pictures, so you have to do the pictures in your brain here. There was once a row of dominoes standing equal distances apart in a long, narrow line that circled back onto itself. Now, since the distance between them was shorter by half than their length, they all knew that if ever one domino lost its balance, all of them would have trouble keeping theirs. Now and then something happened that would make them shake, and some seemed more tipsy than others, but no force that touched them ever went beyond each one's ability to rebalance, and the dreaded unstoppable chain reaction that they knew they were powerless to reverse never began. Until one day it happened. It was domino number 10101. Number 10101 teetered, shook, pivoted, and fell. Its neighbor, 10100, was taken so unawares that it immediately fell against its neighbor, and that sequence repeated itself at least several hundred times before all the dominoes realized what was happening. As the process continued, some gave in without a fight. Others pretended, it's not happening. A few became so anxious that they fell over before the tipping got to them. Whenever the original tumbling order reached a point where the dominoes had already fallen over, it appeared to stop, but the process then went right on, continued by the new dominoes that had fallen over, and the process ended up being accelerated by quantum leaps. As the wave persistently moved on, each domino mobilized all its energy to hold up its neighbor. But it was to no avail. The continuing force was just too much for each individual domino's own weight and size. In addition, the nature of their existence worked against them. To hold one neighbor up would have been difficult enough, but to fight the accumulating momentum was out of the question. The attitude of those that remained standing was pretty much the same. Each one asked itself what it could do to fight this process that was coming towards them. They tried to do calculations about the power in ergs of energy as against the rest mass of their own weight. Others wondered if perhaps some sort of aerodynamic innovation could be conceived to stop this juggernaut to a halt. Still others considered the possibility that they could help their neighbors if they could bring their own strength to greater, hitherto unimagined levels. Several thought of sacrificing themselves for the greater good by falling before their turn in the misguided hope that such an action would create a fire line. But inevitability prevailed, and it was becoming increasingly hopeless to think that anything could arrest the course of these events. Indeed, they stopped with such, until suddenly, things stopped. Indeed, they stopped with such resounding force and suddenness that at first, all the energy went backwards and it knocked the others upright and they fell back over in the other direction and the process started again, going backwards. A ricochet occurred. At some point, this continued at the same rate and past the starting point, running right around through the original 10101 and mowing down the remainder of those previously untouched until once again, the last one fell against the other side of the domino that had not gone down. Again, the process reversed, and this time with a little bit less energy, all the dominoes were knocked back up into a standing upright position. It all happened so fast, before the dominoes had any time to consider what had happened, they were standing all of a sudden again, quivering here and there, but basically stable. Eventually, they all began to focus on the point where things had turned. What had happened? Which one had stopped the pernicious process, and how? At that spot, all that could be seen was a domino, no different in size or shape or weight or color or density or any visible characteristic. Nor was there any machine or prosthetic or other help to prop it up and reinforce its strength. The entire line was confused. Slowly, they began to realize that they owed all this to that member of the community. But how did you do it? They all wanted to know. What formula did you use to check it? What did you understand about its nature? How did you calculate the proper measure? What did you see that we didn't? The others all asked. I'm not sure what the difference was, said the domino that had not been dominoed. All I can say is that while each of you kept trying to hold your neighbor up, my concern was that I did not go down.